Blog Talk Radio.
I don't care what it feels like. I don't care if the enemy tries to make you cry all night. I don't care what they told you. Just try to keep your composure. Never mind the size of a mountain standing right before you. But you're ready before I have you. You got your whole armor. You're sober and you never let your guard down. They never leave or forsake you. Just hold on to your faith. Trying to call to make an arrangement. Daycare got late fees, cause deadbeats made babies. Never mind the sign on the door that says eviction pending. But you're ready before I have not said. You got your whole armor. Be sober and you never let your guard down. But hold on to the master. In order to win you have to. Wanna be in V-I-C-T-O-I. Gotta put your game face on, don't be fake, don't go from low to high.
Just call her the name, just call her the name and you'll be fine.
To be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this February 14th, 2021. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody, from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. This morning, I am Bishop Cook, and this morning I am being joined by the mighty servant leaders in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, Apostle Edwin Holloway, Deacon William Isbell, and of course, Apostle Zeta Flowers. We pray that you will truly be blessed by our worship service this morning, because we love the Lord and we pray that you come to just love on him too. So right now, we are going to go to opening prayer with Prophetess Kathleen Holloway. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just lift you up this morning. We magnify your name. You are greatly to be praised. Father God, we just thank you. And Father God, as we lift up our hearts to you today, Father God, we just ask that you would continue to move in the program, that you'd move on the speaker of the hour, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will speak through the speaker of the hour, and that you will destroy our yokes of bondage and bring joy. And we thank you, Father God, that as the song said, we win. We thank you for the victory today. In all things, Father God, we're given thanks.
Lord.
Thank you for giving us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And Father God,
Lord,
we thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
victory. Fine. Hallelujah. How many know that you have the victory this morning? Glory to God. It is now time for our meditational reading. Each and every mother to come to beautiful devotion by Pastor entitled Rain, and we just love hearing Mother read. And so this morning, please get turn your attention to Mother Mitchell as she reads this week's beautiful meditational reading. Mother Mitchell.
Thank you, Bishop. Happy Valentine, everyone. I love you all. Our meditational reading, as Bishop has said, come from the devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. The powerful lesson from this devotional reads as follows. It's entitled, What is on Your Heart? We're looking at Hebrews 8 and 10. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. Now, many of us have been taught that we cannot trust our hearts. We quote verses like, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17 and 9. Not knowing that Jeremiah was referring to the man who had not received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I have had people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what I should do with my life. I say, what is on your heart? I ask one of them. I would love to work among children, they would say. Then, work among children, I would tell them. But I am waiting on the Lord to tell me to do that. Well, He has given you the desire, so go and work among children. But the desire comes from my heart. How do I know if it is of God? My friend, once you are saved, you have a brand new heart, Ezekiel 36 and 26. And you can trust the promptings of your heart because God dwells in you and He leads you from within. And don't worry because His promptings will never contradict His word. It will lead you to good success. Often you find that when you follow your inner promptings, it is actually God who has put those desires in your mind and written them on your heart. I remember years ago when I approached one of our church leaders and told him, I really think that you are called to be a full-time pastor. It turned out to be a confirmation of what he already knew on the inside. You see, God was already leading him from within. Today, he is one of our full-time pastors. If you enjoy something and desire to do it, then go for it. Go with the flow. God Himself says that He will guide us from within. Let's not doubt Him, and don't worry about the outcome. Your part is to just follow the flow. God's part is to work in you both the willingness and the performance of it. Philippians 2:13. Beloved, because God has given you a new heart, He will write His desires on it. And as you fulfill these desires, you will bring forth fruit and not wither and die. Whatever you do will prosper. May the Lord add blessing and favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of His holy and righteous word. The thought for the day: you can trust the promptings of your heart because God dwells in you and He leads you from within. Amen.
Hey, y'all, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No estimate, throw at me. You know it won't prosper now.
Yeah, just got laid off.
I'm doing good.
House ain't even paid off.
I'm doing good.
Should be afraid, but
I'm feeling good.
All the time you say,
God is good. He's ready for the new Jericho. You're waiting on God. He's waiting on you.
So what you gonna do?
Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No weapon may throw at me.
It won't.
You know it won't prosper now.
Ron, this is crazy.
Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No weapon may throw at me. You know it won't prosper.
Experience. And this morning we have some very special prayer requests that I want to bring forth. This morning we have been asked to pray for Minister Tina's husband, Rodney. Yesterday he was in an accident, an ATV accident. He has broken ribs. And we're just praying. We would like to pray for him today. We have Minister Anthony Brooks with us this morning. We want to keep him lifted up. Of course, we're lifting up Mother Mitchell and all of our elders here that we love and we care about, the Holloways, of course, and Evangelist Cassie's mother, all of our elders we want to lift up today. So right now, we are going to go to the Lord, because here at the Spirit Alive Network, we know that prayer changes things. We believe the word of God. So when we pray expecting God to move. And this morning, we are going to go to altar call with Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen. And we just pray that you will pray for your lost, your unsaved loved ones, your unsaved co-workers. We just want to keep them lifted up, and the homeless. Right now, there's a lot of snow and ice outside, so let's keep them lifted up. So right now, I want you to clear your mind. Put your focus on Jesus, and let us go to the Lord with Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, we just come to you, Lord. I'm asking that everyone, hallelujah, will come to the throne of grace. We are coming together, hallelujah, to beseech the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, we
Father
are.
Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus this morning.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for life this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for the gift of life, because truly it is, because you gave it to us. Hallelujah. You gave up your own life, hallelujah, for our sakes. And so we thank you for that this morning. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you for keeping us in your care. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for protecting us. Hallelujah. Even those of us that may have gotten hurt on this week, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We still thank you that we are yet alive. Hallelujah. And we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We praise you for your goodness, for your mercy. Hallelujah. For your undying grace. We thank you. Hallelujah. That your grace is sufficient. Father God, we lift up the husband of Minister Tina Brown right now. We lift her up, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
We lift him up. We lift her up as well. In the name of Jesus, we lift up the family. We ask,
Lord,
that you would touch him right now. In the name of Jesus, touch his body, Lord, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Hallelujah. Touch every portion of him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Internally and externally. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing into his body. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, touch right now. Move right now by your spirit. In the name of Jesus,
Lord.
Allow your healing virtues to flow throughout his entire body. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you that our minister, Anthony Brooks, is with us this morning.
Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless, that you would continue to heal.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, God, that
please,
you would continue
Lord.
To open doors, hallelujah, for him.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
yes,
bless
Lord.
His family.
Yes,
in
Lord.
The name of
yes,
Jesus,
Lord.
We
do
lift
it,
up
Jesus.
Him and his family to you right now, God. We
now,
ask that you
Lord.
Would just take over, Lord, that you would take control, that you would move in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord.
And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. For moving in his behalf right now. Hallelujah.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up everyone that may be ailing today. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That are listening in on Spirit Alive. Hallelujah. As well, hallelujah, as the leaders. Hallelujah. In Spirit Alive
Lord,
ministries. In Jesus' name. Move among all of us, God. In the name of Jesus, keep us safe and keep us healthy. Keep us well. Hallelujah. Prosper us in every area. hallelujah, of our lives in Jesus' name. And that's according to your holy word. Hallelujah. 3 John 2. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're depending on you. We're expecting you, Lord, to move. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. But help us, Lord, your people. Hallelujah. To return. Hallelujah. Back to you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And obey you to do what you have told each and every one of us to do, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to walk in obedience. Hallelujah. Not just sometimes, but on a daily walk with you.
Yes, Lord.
We
God,
would obey
please,
you and do everything that you say to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That we will be willing vessel in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we would allow you to do the makeover in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That you would, that we would allow you, hallelujah, to take control in our situation.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
And anything that needs to be fixed. Hallelujah. Bless us, your people. Hallelujah. To put our dependency on you, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, that we will look to you. Hallelujah. We don't
Lord
have
God.
To be satisfied with the situation. Hallelujah.
My
we know
Lord.
A God that can change it. Hallelujah. So we're looking to you, God. We're believing you. We're trusting you. Hallelujah. We will obey. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we will do what you say. Hallelujah. And we know in turn what you will do. Hallelujah, because you've already told us. You've already promised us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, no. Now, Father God, we ask, Lord, that you, hallelujah, would move in our communities and use us as you move
Lord.
Through our community. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Move in our cities. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Our states. Across
yes.
the nation, our entire world,
yes.
in the name
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord.
Move
yes,
in
Lord.
A mighty way, God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord, God.
As you're moving, hallelujah, utilize us as you have planned to do and you have told us, hallelujah,
yes, Lord.
That would be left in our
you.
Hands to do. Now, Lord, allow us to stand up, hallelujah, and stand ground, hallelujah, and move, hallelujah, and not be complacent or satisfied with the situations that are going on right now, Lord, but that we would stand
yes, Lord.
And that we would make a difference in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus'
yes.
name, hallelujah.
Yes.
Father God, we ask, Lord, that you would move among the government and the world leaders, city officials,
yes, Jesus,
hallelujah,
please,
in the name of Jesus, state
yes.
officials, in
yes.
the name of Jesus, that you would rise up, hallelujah,
yes.
holy people, hallelujah, to be over your countries, your nations, your cities, your states, hallelujah, and in our communities, in the name of Jesus. We come against satanic domestic violence and all
yes,
other
Lord.
Satanic abusiveness
yes.
in the name of
yes.
Jesus of
yes.
children
yes.
and everyone that are under these satanic holds. We ask, Lord, that you would release them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue to release those, Lord, that have been affected by human trafficking, in the name of Jesus. Move in a mighty way, God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, hold these ones, hallelujah, these perpetrators accountable. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We call for justice today, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we pray that you would go into the jails, the prisons,
yes.
the juvenile halls. Hallelujah,
touch
this morning, that you would move in a mighty way. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus. In Jesus' name, that many souls will turn to you in these
yes,
places.
Lord.
Hallelujah,
yes, Lord.
And desire to be saved and desire to walk upright before you. A desire to be used by you. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We pray also for those that are in hospitals, confined to their homes in nursing facilities. Hallelujah. We pray that you would send somebody by in the name of
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
To minister to them in the name of Jesus, that their hearts might be touched. Hallelujah. That they may instill hope into them in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we lift up the homeless. Everywhere.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
there are
Lord.
So many,
yes,
hallelujah, in the name of Jesus that have no roof over their heads. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for those that have made ways for them. Hallelujah. That have opened up.
Yes, Lord.
Continue
to bless
you. Hotels. Hallelujah. And tiny homes and all of these things. Hallelujah. But, Lord, there is yet many that are still with us.
Yes.
So we ask, Lord, that you would make a way for
them
in the name of Jesus, that there will be food, shelter, clothing. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
There are ways for them to be clean, to have baths, to have showers, and all the necessary and basic things that everyone has needed.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you,
I got the sweet, sweet, sweet dreams of Jesus. Yes, I do. He is my.
Oh, glory to God. All right, saints of God, it is now time for this morning's message. So please retrieve your Bibles if you haven't done so. I'd just like to say once again, good morning to you, family of faith, and happy Valentine's Day. Oh, and before I do anything else, I just want to give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise for the phenomenal messages that we heard last month and for that very special Super Bowl treat that we all received last week. And I know, I know, you all hear me boast in the Lord about these servants a whole lot. But I'm going to say it until the day he calls me home. I feel so blessed to be in the service with such humble and anointed servants. And being inspired by all the wonderful messages that I heard the past month and a half, I began to praise God for the moving of his spirit. Because what each and every one of God's servants shared was that even though we may be broken, we may fall short, we're still victorious through Christ when we turn it all over to him. In Christ, we can be victorious over every trial, every tribulation, every storm, and every other form of adversity right now. So this morning, with your prayers and God's help, I would like to share with you today what it means to live a victorious gold medal life in Christ. And today we'll be looking at the determination and the passion of a gold medalist Christian as found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Put your finger there, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, through 3. And yes, you hear pages rustling up over here because at Spirit Alive, we use our Bibles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Imagine that. Glory to God. So I'm going to wait until the pages stop rustling, and we will begin. First, let's look at Philippians 3, chapter 10 through 14. This is a very familiar passage. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now to your throne of grace, just asking you to empty me of myself. Step into this body of clay, Lord, and use me, for I am your yielded vessel. Lord God, it is my heart's desire only that people will come to know you in the pardon of their sin, and that those that already profess to know you, Lord God, will be stronger and will come up a little higher in you so that they might truly live the abundant life and we all might be transformed into your very likeness. So use me, O God, as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Let's get down to God's business. Thanks to God, there are so many lessons found in this text on how to live a gold medal spiritual life. And I'm sure if you follow us, you remember that recently I used this passage of scripture for another message. But today, I'm going to use it as a backdrop to paint a picture of what it means to live this gold medal Christian life based upon the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, it's Black History Month, And it's still so amazing to see footage of great champions like Jesse Owens, Carl Lewis, or Florence Joyner. But it always makes me stop and think about what it took for them to get to the point they were, to get to being that top athlete. So we're going to look at the qualities of great athletes as a metaphor for the qualities of what it takes to be a gold medal follower of Christ. Now, Paul begins this section by simply describing what he's going after. You see, Paul is letting us know that he's focused on the end result, not merely the beginning of the race. Pastor Scott talked about on Friday about running the race. So Paul was concerned about the end result. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from his death. You see, Paul makes it very clear that a goal of his life is to know Jesus. He wants to be a model of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. You see, Paul's ultimate destination was to end up looking like Jesus by the way he lived his life. You see, Paul understood that in understanding Christ and his death, that we can model our lives after his life. Hallelujah. See, Paul wanted to know, everybody to know, that Jesus was now in his DNA. He was a new creation. And right now I'm going to share a few gold medal nuggets that we can draw from the death of Jesus. See, we can get that nugget of submission. We heard Jesus say, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. He submitted to the will of his Father. We can take the gold nugget of sacrifice. He said, no man taketh it from me. He's talking about his life. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And he said, this commandment have I received from my Father. You can find that in John 10:18. We can get that gold nugget of humility from the death of Jesus. You see, the word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 in the Message Bible, I like the way it says it in the Message Bible, it says he, Christ, had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages that of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human, y'all. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless and obedient death. And he died the worst kind of all, a crucifixion. So Paul begins this section at the end. He says, I'm running a race to attain. So gold medal living is a life that humble that models Jesus by submitting to God's will. A gold medal life is living a life that sacrifices for the sake of others. A gold medal living is humbling ourselves to serve others in any way that we can. We don't get to pick and choose. For you see, that was the ultimate destination for Paul. He was determined to get to the finish line. He wasn't just standing at the beginning of the race. He said, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to get to that finish line. So now let's look at the principles that will make us victorious and will get us across that finish line. First of all, we have to get in the race. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Anytime you hear Paul say this one thing I do, or anybody in the Bible say that, oh, they mean that thing they just said. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Thanks to God, we got to press on no matter the cost. Okay, we may get tired. We may feel like sitting, taking a seat, but we can't. I heard my little sister, Evangelist Michelle, say in a message, quitting is not an option. He said, not that I have already attained all this or have already made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. See, we cannot reach the prize if we quit the race. Okay. We've got to get in the race, and we have to stay in the race. Let me tell you something about Derek Redmond. Now, Derek Redmond, he was a British runner, and he ran the 400 meter. And he was in the semifinals. But in the semifinals, he tore a hamstring and fell on the track. And he struggled to his feet and began to hobble because he was determined to finish the race. Then his father ran from the stands to help him off the track. But the athlete still refused to quit. What he did was leaned on his father, and the two limped to the finish line together, to a deafening applause. You see, that young man was determined to finish the race. So we have to first press on no matter the cost. Yes, trials and tribulations may come, but we got to press. And then we got to keep our mind on what lies ahead and not behind. That's why our rear view mirror is so small. You know, if you look at the windshield of the car is much bigger than the rear view mirror. That's so we can focus on what's ahead of us and not behind. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Listen, we cannot let our guilt, our shame, our hang-ups, you know, our bad habits, none of that take our focus off the prize. We can't let what we used to do stop us from our destiny. Our past does not dictate our future. So we need to stop looking in the rearview mirror and start focusing on what is ahead and not behind. You know, I tell you, we have to never give up on the prize. Never. Ever. In the 1992 Summer Olympics, there was a couple poignant moments, and I actually saw this. American sprinter Gail Devers, she was the clear leader in the 100-meter hurdles. And at the very last minute, she tripped over a barrier. Now, she pulled herself up to her knees, and she crawled. She actually crawled the last 5 meters of that race. She finished fifth, but she finished. Thanks to God, we cannot give up on the prize. See, Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of which God has called me heavenward in Jesus. See, Jesus is our gold medal. The gold medal of our lives await us when we see Jesus in his kingdom. You know how I know? Because 2 Timothy 4 and 8 tells me, and I'm going to read it from the NIV because I like the way they say it in that. It says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. So you see, the prize is Jesus. And we need to know and understand that the key to our lives is not how we start the race, but how we finish. It's not about where we start the race, but it's about where we allow Jesus to take us. Okay? See, we want to do things in and of ourselves. But when we are living a gold medal life, we will know and understand that Jesus is able to do the things that we can't do, that we are no longer accused before him, and that we're already victorious right now. Okay, family, I'm going to do like Sophia on Golden Girls. Okay, family, picture this. Mexico City, Olympic Stadium, October the 20th, 1968. The time, 7 p.m. The closing ceremonies had just completed. Now, the spectators and the athletes, oh, man, they were all still celebrating. They were in their euphoria. But as they were gathering up their things to leave the stadium, then the announcer asked them to stay in their seats. And down the boulevard came the whine of police sirens. And from their vantage point, many in the stadium could see motorcycles with their flashing blue lights encircling someone making his way toward the stadium. Whoever it was, he was moving slowly. And everyone remained seated to see the last chapter of the Olympics take place. And by the time the police escort got to the stadium, the public address announcer said that a final marathoner would be making his way into the arena and around the track to the finish line. Now, confusion was evident amongst the crowd, and the last marathoner had come in. All the other marathoners had came in hours ago. The medals had already been awarded. What had taken this man so long? But the first sign of the runner making his way out of the tunnel and into the track told the whole story. John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania was covered with blood as he hobbled into the light. He had taken a horrible fall early in the race, whacked his head, damaged his knee, and endured a trampling before he could get back on his feet. And there he was, over 40 kilometers later, stumbling his way to the finish line. The response of the crowd was so overwhelming, it was almost frightening. They encouraged him through the last few meters of his race with a thundering ovation that far exceeded the one even given the man hours earlier who won. When he crossed the finish line, he collapsed into the arms of the medical personnel, who immediately whisked him off to the hospital. The next day, he appeared before sports journalists to field their questions about his extraordinary feat. The first question was the one any of us would have asked. Why, after sustaining those kinds of injuries, did you or why would you ever get up and proceed to the finish line when there was no way that you could possibly place in the race? To which he responded, my country did not send me over 11,000 kilometers to start a race. They sent me over 11,000 kilometers to finish one. Do you have the determination to live victorious, to live as a champion, to live a gold medal life? Because where there is determination, there's passion. Now, I need you to walk with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. And for the purpose of this teaching, we are going to define passion to mean focus. Now, first of all, we want to look closer at this letter Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Corinth. See, he had spent a long time there helping them to establish a church, and now he was writing back to answer some questions they had sent him. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 3, and he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, for all my young people sitting in the chat room, in order for us to truly appreciate all this, we need a little background on the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth was a city along a major trade route of the ancient world. It had an extremely wild lifestyle that became the object of jokes and ancient playwrights. It was seen as an obscene and vulgar place that was shameless and immoral. It was no small town. Corinth had a population of 700,000 and was second in size only to Rome itself. Every race of people was represented in Corinth. Traders and profiteers from all corners of the globe came to make money off the city. Religions of all types flourished, and a temple to the goddess Venus employed 1,000 prostitutes. Yet, as Christianity began to take root, the church grew to be one of the largest in the first century. It is against this backdrop that Paul writes 1 Corinthians to answer some problems that have erupted in church. Now, first, I want us to look at Paul's passion, his focus. He said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, Paul points out the focus of the time he spent in Corinth, because for 18 months he had lived there working as a tent maker and speaking in the synagogues on the Sabbath. But wherever Paul traveled, his passion or his focus was to proclaim Jesus. And as we read scriptures about his travels, we see that as Paul headed to Corinth, he constantly preached Jesus at every point along the way. Acts 16 through 18 tells us of Paul's travels and some of his trials as he approached Corinth. Many scholars believe that Paul showed up at Corinth beaten, frustrated, and depressed with very good reason. Huh, my Lord. In Philippi, he was arrested, flogged, put in stocks, and run out of town. In Thessalonica, a riot breaks out, and he is sent to jail. In Berea, the people who ran him out of Thessalonica stir up another riot, and he has to flee again. Then in Athens, he speaks to the city's intelligence community, and they just sneer at him. Look, trouble seems to always follow Paul, you know. But after suffering everything that he did, he spent 18 months in Corinth. Ultimately, the Jews attacked him, and he was beaten again. But through all of his difficulties, Paul held on to his focus for Jesus. He was determined to preach Christ at all times, no matter the cost. He said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom." He said, "I don't know anything except Jesus. And he died for my sin." You know, St. Augustine said, "We need to preach Christ at all times." And then he said, "And if necessary, use words." So what was St. Augustine saying? He was saying, to live a gold medal life for Christ, we must allow our Christ light to shine in our lives by the way we walk, by the way we talk and by the way that we love. To live a gold medal life is so much more than simply talking about Jesus. We must live like him. We must take on his character. Listen what the word of God says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Oh, hallelujah. I think that's pretty clear. I don't think you need a commentary for that. Because let me go on and tell you what Matthew 5 and 16 says. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How focused are you in letting your Christ light shine in your life? Is your passion or your focus, is it to share Christ at all costs? And what would it take to back you up? Because we see that Paul had some struggles. You know, now, because he was such a tremendous and powerful apostle, you know, and he was so effective, it's easy to think that he didn't have any fear or regret. But you know what? Paul was very honest about his condition in Corinth. He didn't try to puff himself up, make himself look bigger than he was. He wasn't trying to be Holy Ghost Junior. See, what he did is he told the truth. He said, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. Struggle, yeah. Thanks to God. Had all kinds of them. He had physical troubles and struggles. Paul suffered a condition that he prayed would be taken away repeatedly, but it never was. He said in the words declares, in 2 Corinthians 12:7-8, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. So Paul is saying, I was given a painful physical ailment, but it acts as Satan's messenger to beat me up and keep me from being proud. He said three times, I prayed to the Lord and asked him to take it away. And you know what the Lord said? Huh, I'm going to tell you in a minute. Hallelujah. Paul had spiritual trouble. Paul struggled with temptation to sin like everybody else. Let me tell you, let me show you what he wrote in Romans chapter 7, 21 through 23. And I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. I love that Bible. I love using that with my regular King James Bible. It says, the moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebels just when I least expect it. And they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. That's what he wrote. In essence, the very things that I don't want to do is the things that I do.
That's what I do.
So we need to know and understand and expect the enemy to place in front of us the very thing that we're trying so hard to avoid. You see, he's not going to let us skip Timaloo through this race. He's not going to allow us to run a flawless race. He's out there on the track trying to trip us up every chance he gets. So, our choices become, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to give in to the pain, or are we going to push through? Because now here's what God says about our pain. Here's what God says about the push through. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, I'm going to read it from the Message again. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. In the Message, it says, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap, and I began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. So no matter what we're going through as we run this race, as we live this victorious gold medal life, we will never forget that God's grace comes to light in our weakness. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Paul's true focus, his real passion. Because Paul made a commitment to know nothing but Jesus and to preach nothing except who Jesus is and what he's doing. And he was able to, because he did that, he was able to share in the reward of seeing God work in powerful ways, even in a pagan city like Corinth. Paul's passion or his focus was to know Jesus as revealed to him by God. He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That is in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it's also a quote from Isaiah 64:4. You see, Paul understood that a life that is focused on Jesus is a life worth living. So thanks to God, as we put it all together, a victorious gold medal life begins with realizing that the source of everything we are is in the Lord. He created us, he owns us, he gifted us with his talents. He authors our story, and every blessing that we receive comes from him. He is the source of our daily righteousness. We have no internal desire or moral ability to live up to the biblical standards on our own. Oh, hallelujah, but in Christ Jesus, we have everything we need to live victorious and live a godly, holy life. Hallelujah, a gold medal life means that Jesus is our focus. He is our motivation for everything we think, we say, and we do. Now, I have to admit, some of us so-called Christians don't leave much room for Christ in our Christianity. And what I mean by that is some lean on their ability to keep the law, you know, or they're in their pride in the historic tradition, and that's what defines their faith, not the person of Jesus. Their belief is in what they can do. So I came to ask you this morning, is your relationship with Christ intimate and personal? Do you want to know Christ even more? Do you want to be a part of his work? I mean, do you really want to please him? Do you want to incarnate his character? A victorious gold medal life is deeply intimate and motivated by a relationship with Jesus. You see, a victorious gold medal life has one ultimate goal, that God gets the glory, that Jesus gets the glory. Now, it's not wrong to pursue personal goals, but the glory of Christ is the orienting compass that gives directions to all of us. So we can't take any credit for what we do. If we're going to boast, we need to boast in the Lord, because we want the Lord to be known, honored, worshiped, and obeyed. We submit every other attainable goal to him. Our decisions are no longer controlled by our selfish desires, but we are given new desires by the power of the Holy Spirit that we get from his love. So a victorious gold medal life finally puts all our eggs in one basket of the Lord. We know that this life is not all there is. We know that we have a prize coming, and that prize is Christ Jesus and living eternally with him. And I want to tell you something. A victorious gold medal Christ-centered life is more than just a ticket out of hell. Yes, it is. See, living that kind of life gives us hope for right here, for right now. Because Christ said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised his presence and his grace until he calls us home. So a gold medal life is one that is focused on Jesus. A gold medal life is a life that is determined to live for Christ at all costs. Do you have what it takes to run this Christian race? Or you're running in a way that you will attain the gold medal of eternally living in the presence of God? Well, if not, I have good news for you today. Hallelujah. Jesus is calling. If you don't know him and the pardon of your sin, you do not have to worry. Because Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. And all you have to do is open the door and receive him. All you have to do is go to him with a sincere heart and confess your sin. Hallelujah. And ask him to come into your life and to save you. Hallelujah. And when you do that, you become a part of the family of God. You now have access to all the blessings and promises of God. Hallelujah. So just pray to him and ask him for those of you who have been hurt by the church. I'm praying for you this morning that you will know deep down in your sanctified soul that no matter what those people in that church have say or what they do, you are still victorious as long as you stand on your faith and the word of God. Hallelujah. There's no need for you to run. There's no need for you to hide. Just be the victorious you that God made you to be. And so what if he gives you something to do that doesn't look like what everybody else is doing? Sometimes God decides to do a new thing. Don't let these people hurt your feelings. Walk in victory. Hallelujah. I pray that you truly got something out of this message about having determination and passion to be a gold medalist in Christ. Right now, I'm going to open this up. I'm going to let you put your praise on it. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to ask someone to do a prayer for the new converts. But right now, I'm just going to let everybody come on in the room. I'm going to add, we have a little bit of time. If we do this expeditiously, hallelujah, and we don't get long-winded, we can get through everybody in here. And we have a lot of people in here. Amen. So what we're going to do is this morning, we're going to start with Apostle and Prophetess Holloway. Hallelujah. Give us a word. Give the people a word based on this message.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for the word. And it's all about determination. And no, we don't have any other option. Thank you, Evangelist Michelle and Bishop, that we can make it to the finish line. We all suffer battle scars, is what I call them. Things in our body, our mind, our hurt. But God is saying, press on. You can make it through whatever you go through in life. I thank God for that. Here's
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
We thank God for the word this morning. Yes, we have to press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling in Christ Jesus. We have to press. It's a press. You go through, you're going to go through from the beginning to the end. You're going to go through something. But God is with us. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we, knowing that, we press. No matter who says what, no matter who does what to us, we know that God will carry us through. He said, I'll make your enemies my footstool. So with
Amen.
Knowing that God is going to, he's going to take care of us, he's going to be there as we press toward the mark. He said, Come all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. So we come to God. God is going to take care of us. He's going to work with us. He's going to do.
Amen,
yes,
Apostle.
You and your son. Yes, you don't give up. You have some issues in your life that he will take care of. Yes, so you
yes,
smoke.
Yes, he will.
So you drink.
Amen.
So you,
glory to God.
So you looked at pornography. God will take it away. God will deliver
Amen.
You and set
Thank
you,
you
free.
Apostle.
Come on.
Come on now. That's
come on.
Good. All right, Evangelist Kathy Horton, come on in the room.
God bless you. God bless the message and God bless the messenger. This was good. This was good. Living a gold medal life, it takes discipline. When those people run on the Olympics, they practice for 4 years before they get to the Olympics. Daily. This is a daily walk with the Lord. You must be focused on what you're doing. And being focused on Him and knowing the Word, once you know, you're already victorious. When you run this race in the Lord, you're already victorious through Jesus Christ because He's taking care of all that for you. But remember, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you.
Yes.
You are victorious in Jesus Christ. God bless you, saints.
Amen. Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you. Minister Anthony, come on in the room, please.
Hey, Bishop. Hey, saints.
Hey.
Yes, it's very true where we are right now. And we went to that scripture in the 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient. That's it. There's power. Jesus has power in our weaknesses. And that's what we know, that we keep striving. Just like athletes, we keep striving. We keep pushing. We practice. We practice hard. We learn. We go through.
Yes.
I spoke with my beautiful daughter earlier today. And told me, I was like, Daddy, we have to practice a lot in basketball. We do a lot of running. Well, I'm going to say, well, that makes you better. That's definitely going to make you better. And that's how we have to be in this life. We have to keep pushing in our spirit, because that's where we begin, in our spirit. You know, this flesh is going to break down. We're going to give in here and there. But we have to stay in the Word, stay focused on Father. And know there's a greater prize beyond this world. So,
amen.
That's where you stay. So thank you.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you. All right. Let's bring Evangelist Michelle on into the room, please. Where's she at?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, honey.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I enjoyed the message, and a true medalist shouldn't complain about their aches and pains or anything like that. They should just try to press on. Like I enjoyed when you were talking about the two Olympians. I remember those two events that you were talking about. I watched it, and it brought tears to my eyes. When they came, you know, when he came into the stadium, and when she, you know, crawled across, you know, I remember that, and when you talked about it, it brought the memories back to me, so I vividly remembered it. And so we have to be like that. We have to be victorious in our aches and pains, in the trials that come in our lives and stuff. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it's a way that we can liken ourselves, to the triumph that they had. We can try to be victorious in that way as well. So I thank you for that likeness. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, precious one. All right, Deacon William Isbell, come on in the room.
Well, thank you, Bishop Kirk. I always love it when you bring sports references into your message. I really love them. I'm thinking back to my high school days. Until my junior year in high school, I had not lost a 100-yard dash. But my junior year at my home track, I'm in the blocks, and they shoot the starter gun, and I'm running out there about 50 yards down the track. I'm pressing hard, and I lean too far forward, and I do a front flip. It's a dirt track. Bloodied my legs up good, but that wasn't the worst thing I heard. I realized that I had lost my first race, but I remember the coach yelling at me, "Isbell, get up, finish the race, finish the race."
Yes,
and
yes.
That voice comes in my head a lot, finish the race. I thought I was pretty hot shot until I went to Webster Groves, Missouri, and faced a true Olympian by the name of Ivy Crockett. And
wow.
I ate his cinders that day, but I did finish the race, and I was honored to have raced against him. So, you know, Valentine's Day is about love. And
yes.
Father God has loved us since our inception, and we need to return that love with as good a life as we can live. Thank you, and God bless you, Bishop.
All right. That was awesome. All right. My beautiful Minister Gladys, come on in the room. I think she's with us.
Giving honor to God. Giving all honor to God today. This was such a beautiful message. And I can truly say, I've been checked. I've been checked.
All right.
And I thank God for that. I thank God for you. I thank God for this message because it truly stuck out to me. And
amen.
I thank you. I will finish this race. I will pick up
yes.
my baton. And I will finish this race. And I'm going to come out victorious in the name
yes.
of Jesus. And I thank you. I thank you, Bishop, for this. This message was from me. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you,
I
dear.
Love you.
God bless you. I love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Mother Mitchell, come on in the room.
Thank you, Bishop. You know, racing for the Lord is what we all should be doing. We should want to look like him, sound like him, do everything like Paul. We want to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for us so we would know who he was and why he was. And he wants us to be humble. He wants us to never give up the race. And even sometimes
yeah,
I have to pull back because of my weaknesses in my body, I'm never giving up the race. I was
That's
a runner.
Right. Amen.
My son was a runner. And we never give up the race. You have to keep the race. You have to go the distance. Whatever that distance may be, like the African that came in way down the road, but he finished the race. Thank you.
Yes, he did. Amen. Oh, thank you, Mother. Thank you. That was beautiful. He sure did finish the race. Oh, and thanks to God, tune in again. Make sure you tune in next week because we're going to have part two of this message because I'm going to let everybody know the discipline that you have will determine the legacy that you leave. That's how we're going to be talking about gold medal living part two. Come on in the room, Apostle Zeta Flowers. She might be on.
Hello,
mute.
And God bless you. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we're
I'm here. It was
go
a
on.
Wonderful message. Praise God. So I'm just coming in to put my praise on it. Because I heard all the comments of everyone else, and everything was well and well spoken, well said. And we have, as Bishop Sherlene said earlier, that the Lord has given us everything that we need to live
yes.
this gold medal life. And so we
yes.
can. It's up
yes.
to us. God
That's
bless
right.
you, everybody. And I'm glad
Amen.
That
we
others have
you.
Been very much touched by the message. Amen.
Amen.
That was my prayer.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Lord God, I thank you that the word, your word always does what it's supposed to do. You know, I'm just, I just praise God because, you know, we have to stop looking for the victory and know that we are coming from a place of victory. How are we going to stand against the enemy if we are in a mindset that we're already defeated? God took the key. Jesus went down in hell and took the keys, and he came back and gave the keys to us. We have the keys. So we're not looking for the victory. We are walking in the victory as long as we're seeking God, as long as we're walking after his righteousness, as long as we are doing everything that we can to live a selfless life, a humble life. I love Paul. Paul kept it real. He didn't come out, you know, he's Paul. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He didn't come out like, oh, yes, I'm Paul, and I've been writing these letters. And he said, look, when I got there, I was scared. I was depressed. I didn't come to you acting like I knew anything except Jesus and the fact that he died for me. That's all I know. Because he says in another place, the more I think I know, the more I know nothing. So,
exactly.
Thanks to God, we have to understand, we're not walking in and of ourselves. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is walking on the inside of us. God, who never fails. God, who never gets tired. God, who never gives up. And he's rooting for us. He wants us to win. He wants to see us. He wants to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we can live that life. And I'm going to ask Evangelist Kathy if she will come back. And I want her to pray a prayer for all of those who may, all the new converts, and for all of those who may be feeling down and depressed and feeling like they are not walking in the victory. So, Evangelist, would you please come and say, just pray over those folks for us, please.
Praise God. God bless you. To the new converts and those who are depressed, if you heard what I said, when you receive Jesus this day and forever, you're already victorious. You no longer are in the place of defeat. You're already victorious because Jesus paid the price. Now, just receive your prize. Father, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. Thank you for this opportunity, glory, to come before you. And thank you for what you've done this day, and thank you for the new saints that you brought into your fold. Now I ask you to bless them. Open up their hearts and minds. Give them a deeper understanding and revelation of your word. Help them to grow according to your will and purpose, and that you use them according to your will and purpose, that they be a light wherever they go, in their homes, on their jobs, in the streets, shopping, wherever they go. Let them know that they are walking in victory, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Help them to grow. Help them to grow. And learn your word. Learn your word and give them the revelation as they study and read your word in the name of Jesus. Give them a closer walk. And now saying that again, give them a closer walk because
yes, Lord, please.
Fill them with your mighty Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Yes,
for your
words
and your Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things to
yes,
your memories. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, again, thank you for those souls and put them in
yes,
a place
Lord.
Where they can go and learn your word even the more. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the saints of God say amen. Give him a good amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We praise
amen.
God. We
amen.
Praise God. We praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are victorious in Christ. We are, hallelujah, victorious because, as my sister said, Jesus paid the price. We don't have to earn anything. We don't have to work our way up to anything. All we have to do is believe what the word of God says and live according to it. And I also like what my sister, Evangelist Horton, always says. She says, once you have heard the word, you are responsible for living it. We can come each and every Sunday and share the word with you.
But then you have to take that word, graft it in your heart, and walk out your salvation for yourself. We can't do it for you. Hallelujah. But we are just praying, as my sister said, that God gives you the strength, the desire, the passion to run after him, to thirst after him, to hunger after him, because he's so good. All I can say is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that would trust him. Ha. So we just need to get in a mindset of knowing that we are victorious. So I praise God for all of our servant leaders here. I praise God for all of you listening. I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I was joined by the beautiful saints of God of this fellowship, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Apostle Edwin Holloway, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, Deacon William Isbell, Evangelist Kathy Horton, Minister Anthony Brooks, Minister Gladys, and also Apostle Zeta Flowers. On behalf of all of us here, we just truly pray that you received a blessing. And if there be nothing else, we'll ask Mother Mitchell to come and bring us the benediction, and I will dismiss you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. We pray again that you have been blessed. And we pray also that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow is a very special evening. We are all going out to the Faith Cafe, where you will hear the servant leaders share the spoken word. They are coming with their favorite poems, poems they've written, poems by their favorite poets, their favorite songs. They're just going to come and light up the Faith Cafe with the spoken word. And I hope you come out for that, because it's going to be fun and it's going to be exciting. Amen. And as always, you can find more about us, more about our programming, hallelujah, in the body of each and every one of our services. So on behalf of all of us, we pray that you have a beautiful and blessed week, that you continue to acknowledge God in all that you do, and be ye transformed. You are, God bless you. Go in peace. You are dismissed. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Hallelujah. Thank you, saints of God. You did a beautiful, phenomenal job. Hallelujah. I know God is pleased. Have a blessed day, everybody.
You
God bless
too.
You.
You too,
we
Bishop.
Love you.
We love you.
Love you.
Love you all.
Amen.